Flaherty.
Present.
Claire Grissom.
Present.
Shara Hegde.
Present.
Alfred Morricane.
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Present.
Jaime Quiroga.
Present.
And Ian let us know, John, that he's sick today. Like I mentioned, Sean is as well. And James Dent, his younger son, had a hand surgery today. So he's going to be caretaking tonight and won't be with us either today.
Okay. Thank you. Not required. Terrific. Thank you, everyone. This hold on a second, I got a big dog here. Sorry, this give this back. This meeting, the board of directors of employees of Navigators are meeting via Zoom. This meeting is occurring pursuant to executive orders N25-20 and N-29-20. Members of the public attending online who wish to comment during the board meeting will use the online raise hand tool in Zoom and when the chair elicits public comments. Members of the public planning to attend by phone were requested to confirm their intent. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time shall be 6 minutes. At its discretion, the board may limit the total time allotted to public comments and set new time limits for individual comments. The board reserves the right to mute and remove a participant from the meeting if the participant unreasonably disrupts the meeting. Requests for disability-related modifications or accommodations to participate in this public meeting have been arranged via contact by the affected population. I'll call the meeting to order. Kevin, do we have any public comments? People wishing to make public comments?
No, we do not, John.
Okay. Thank you. My opening remarks, section D, just a couple of things. First of all, a notification that it is my intention to ask for a motion to table the board nominations that are on the agenda tonight until the next meeting. I will need a motion and a second for that. Some administrative stuff that we need to take care of with respect to the record. So I would appreciate the board's support on that in terms of when it comes up, getting a motion to table it till the next meeting, which is on March 7th. The second item is just a quick three items. First of all, I just want to tell board members, those of you who are not on the search committee, as well as staff, the search continues at relatively a high rate of speed. Kevin and I are meeting with the search firm a couple of times a week. The search committee has been formed. As many of you know, the survey has gone out. Meetings are being planned for parents. So progress is moving right along. Pleased to announce, although she was not listed in the first memo that I put out, that Alice Gallegos Fambrini has agreed to join the search committee. So she'll round out the committee. For those of you, may remember that Alicia was a board member, worked for Matt Hammer's shop. Both of them have left, and she agreed to come back, and we're pleased to have her experience and expertise. We also are meeting a couple of times a week with a transition team, a professional transition team that Ian's organization was kind enough to financially support, and that has been very helpful. I'm sorry Ian's not here to receive thanks, but that has proved more substantive than I anticipated, and is contributing to the transition as well as to the organizational excellence effort, which we're laying some substantive groundwork on that. I feel pretty good on where that is, and we're proceeding nicely on all three fronts: search committee, transition, and the ad hoc committee. I might add that we already have some pretty good candidates identified. So that is my report. Are there any off agenda questions from the board? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Do I hear a second?
Victor, I'll second.
Thank you, Victor. Any discussion, corrections, or amendments to the meetings of January 10th? Hearing none. Kevin, would you be kind enough to call roll for approving the minutes of the meeting?
J.P. Anderson.
Aye.
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Clara Grissom.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Alfred Morricane.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga.
Aye.
Passes 8-0.
Thank you. Moving on to item F, the resolution renewing the authorization to continue virtual meetings. Do I hear a motion to approve this resolution 2023 dash what, Kevin? My agenda doesn't have it.
23-12.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Can I interrupt, John? Before you ask for a motion on that, I noticed a typo in the preamble paragraph. The preamble paragraph says today's meeting is January 10th. Obviously, it was left over. It should be February 7th in the first place. Okay. So I suggest the motion should be, as amended to make that correction.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to amend to the appropriate date?
JP, so moved.
And do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion is amended. Do I hear a motion to approve the resolution as amended?
JP, so moved.
Thank you, JP. Do I hear a second?
I'm a second.
Thank you, Jaime. Do I hear any discussion about this? Thank you. Then hearing no discussion, Kevin, would you be kind enough to call the roll on the resolution, please?
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Clara Grissom?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Alfred Morricane?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
Motion passes 8-0.
Thank you. I may have been out of order with respect to one other item, but that's okay. Moving on to item G, the CEO report. Kevin, do you have a report to provide us, please?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. I did put together a few slides. Let me see if I could summon them up without too much delay. Give me one second. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, now it's the agenda. Is now what you're saying the agenda?
No, we see the CEO report. Oh, no,
okay, no, I better try it again because I clicked the wrong button, I guess. Where did it go? Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so I just wanted to take a couple minutes to ground us in some items that we don't always include in the agenda. So first, our mission. Navigator Schools equip students to become learners and leaders in high school, college, and beyond. We develop top-tier teams of educators who continuously improve and innovate schools that deliver phenomenal outcomes for all students, regardless of circumstances, of their circumstances. You have seen our Navigator Compass model many, many times. Remember, again, it's the culture of excellence. We have data-driven instruction. We coach for continuous improvement. Equity is a key element, as well as technology. Now, this strategic plan has not been updated, so it's still our strategic plan. And the three elements that are key for us are thinking about scale. So we've grown to 4 schools, not yet to 5, but that's still in our plan. Our performance is among the top in the state, and we continue to improve on that. And our influence is growing and expanding. And I will share a little bit more about some recent visitors in that regard. But the model providing work that Crystal is leading with James continues to spread the Navigator mission beyond just the 4 schools that we are serving directly. As you may recall, we have adopted graduate aims to think about what our graduates are becoming as they matriculate through the 8 or 9 grades, 9 if you include TK, that we are providing. And our goals are for students, and these are good for our staff as well, continual improvers, academic scholars, creative problem solvers, courageous change makers, and collaborative teammates. These are the aims that are guiding what we do with our scholars every day. So a couple of recent visits just to highlight. So just yesterday, we had 5 educators from Catalyst Public Schools in Washington, the state of Washington, visit. This is from their website where they have adopted a scholar-led small group instruction model. Very much based on our squad model. So Crystal and her team went up to Washington, provided training to them a few months ago directly. Just yesterday, they came out and they were also out with 3 members of the Silicon Schools Fund. Katrin Wright, our former board chair, their CEO, Brian Greenberg, and Robert Schwartz, they were all here at our schools yesterday. And then Catalyst was actually at Gilroy Prep yesterday and at Hollister Prep today. So we're really excited about the work that we're doing and how we're spreading the lessons learned to states far and wide. Another visit that occurred is the Charter School Growth Fund came out on January 19th. Our new Ian has been our relationship manager there for the last few years, and he transitioned out of that role, still on our board, of course, but he transitioned out of the role of relationship manager I think it was November. And our new person is Anna Martinez Shropshire, and she spent all day with us on the 19th. She had lunch with John and myself. She visited Watsonville Prep, and then Gilroy Prep, and then Hayward Collegiate. We couldn't make it through Hollister on the same day, but she was very impressed with Watsonville Prep. Andy and her team gave a tour there. She saw the squads model in place at Gilroy Prep. Some of the other classrooms in Gilroy Prep, as well as the leadership team, was doing their regular educational tour, like walkthroughs, where they look at, they walk through the classrooms and they evaluate and where the teacher is making, where the teacher's strengths are, and also what might be the highest, best action step to support that teacher. And the administrative team visits the room, observes for about 5 minutes, walks out, debriefs that visit. The administrator that's coaching that teacher will give a preview before going into the space about what they've been working on. It's a very effective way of continuing to improve. And so Anna had a chance to witness it, and again, was very impressed with the work that we're doing. So I think I'm running out of time, but I do want to say that I just finished up last week, was my third week in Colorado as part of the Pahara Fellowship. And this was my cohort. You see a picture of me in the bottom there. I'm very thankful for our leadership team, our directors and chiefs team, that made it possible for me to spend 3 weeks over the last year there, holding down the fort, so to speak. And for the support of John and the board, it was a very meaningful growth experience for myself. Happy to share more in the future. I'll just, their website is very, very rich. A lot of great information there. And Anna, if you, Anna, our new relationship manager, is right here in the picture. She's in my cohort. So that was kind of nice. For the last year, I've gotten to know her prior to her becoming our relationship manager. But again, thank you to the board and to my leadership team to allow this opportunity, that I'm committed to bringing the lessons learned in my professional leadership growth to Navigator for the rest of my tenure. So much appreciated. And that is my report, John.
Thank you, Kevin. I would add that Anna was quite impressed with the Navigator staff. She had heard some feedback from Ian about us, and was nice to for her to have it confirmed. Whenever there's a shift like that, it can go south pretty quick if you get the wrong person in. And it looks like we were fortunate enough to get the right person in. So she's excited about how she can help us. We move on to section two, the committee reports. Claire, can you give us a report on the Academic Success Committee?
Sure, no problem. And I'm sure any of you can jump in if you need to add anything. So the first portion of the committee, Academic Success Committee report, was about our STAR growth from fall to winter. So for reading, grades 3 through 5, Hayward Collegiate led the pack, but everybody else is on track with their progress. In the reading for 6 to 8 grades, everybody is on track and on target. For the math, grades 3 to 5, all schools are very close together with their progress, and each site continues to leverage the different interventions that they have for those students who need extra help. And then math, grades 6 to 8, are also on track. The next portion that they went over was interventions. So just kind of going over the two different types of interventions are after school, and that's based on end of unit assessments. And the progress for those students is tracked using EduClimber. And then the other type of intervention used is during the school day, so in school. It's based on daily classroom data, and sites are continuing to improve the tracking for that. Some data celebrations. So GPS, end of unit 2, 10 students were exited, meaning they didn't need intervention anymore. And at the end of unit 3, 6 are anticipated to exit. And Hayward Collegiate, There's an implementation of interventions and daily readings, so that's great. HPS, end of unit two, 22 students exited the reading fluency. And then at WPS, tier three fluency is down, meaning that's a good thing, 11% between October and December. So some data celebrations for that portion of it. And then the last portion that was reported out was for the model providing. And so congratulations. They did officially receive the $250,000 grant from Charter School Growth Fund. And the core components will include blended learning, K-5 center models, and 6-8 squads model. And they just finished up a February 3rd workshop at Santa Cruz County Office of Education. That's what I have for reports.
Congrats to the staff on receiving that $250,000 grant. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Claire. Any questions for Claire or comments from the other committee members? Okay, moving on to item B. I covered the CEO search committee report in my opening remarks. Does anyone have any, take the opportunity to ask again, does anyone have any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the finance committee report. Victor, can you provide us with the report, please?
Yes, happy to. Hi, good evening, everyone. So we met to discuss the financials covering the December 31st, 2021. So a full year of finances. I'd first like to thank Amy for putting that information together. It's always very organized and clear for us. So we typically go through looking at any variances or anything that positive or negative that has affected the finances. I don't have anything material to report. There was some conversation around some negative variances that we saw, but that was explained by some of the transitional kindergarten funding in terms of the look back of ages and some of the students. We didn't get funding for some of the students because they didn't meet the age requirement. It's not something that affects us tremendously. It is something that the finance committee did make mention of as part of process, just to take a look at how transitional kindergarten ages affect finance. But again, nothing material to the overall finance records. The other area that we talked about was facilities. This is something that we do have on the agenda for today to talk about Proposition 39 and how that impacts Hayward Collegiate. We've talked about it before in the past, but I think now we'll have a little bit more concrete details around what options we need to consider as a board. So this is of utmost urgency and importance for the board today to hear out some of the options that Kevin is going to present to us, because we do need to make some decisions for the students and for the organization. So with that, I'll yield back my time and see if there's any questions.
Thank you, Victor. Any questions for Victor from the Finance Committee, or any comments from Finance Committee members? Thanks, Victor. Appreciate it. Moving on to item D, the Governance Committee report was taken up talking about the CEO search, completing out the search committee, also the discussion of board members, and a discussion about board activities in the future with respect to scheduling both meetings and different kinds of meetings. And that was pretty much the time that we took. Are there any questions? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the topical items. Item A, I would like to get a motion to table item A, the board member election, until the next meeting, March 7th. Would someone care to offer that motion to table item A?
So move.
Thank you, Chuck. Do I hear a second?
Shara, second.
Thank you, Shar. As I said, administrative, and partially at the advice of our general counsel, we're going to postpone this until we get some typographical issues in order and some administrative pieces. So thank you for the board's patience on this.
And, John.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know you don't want to throw me under the bus. So I'll throw myself under the bus.
No.
When I was editing and proofing the agenda, I did not catch that we had on the agenda, instead of Shara's name, we had Claire's name. And so because we don't want to act on anything that is out of order with the written agenda, the safest was just to delay it. So thank you for your patience, and we'll have a better agenda for the next time when we consider this matter.
If you're up for re-election, does that mean you've been through a two-year cycle?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
We're close to it.
Time flies.
It really flies when you're having fun, though, right?
Yeah. Also, while we're apologizing, Shar, apologies for transposing your letters in your last name on my memo to staff with respect to CEO search. We'll pay more attention to that in the future.
Can Shar possibly get counseling from Tom on possible viable or? I don't know if Tom wants to get involved. Just check.
Okay. Moving on to.
I'm sorry, John. So we have a motion to table item 2A from Chuck, seconded from Shar. Can we do a roll call?
Yes, let's do a roll call to table the motion.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Shar Hegde?
Aye.
Alfred Morkang?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passed.
Thank you, Kevin. Moving on to item B, the vehicle purchase approval.
Okay.
Amy?
Yes, so this first came to the board in October with the budget revision. It was an item that was added into the capital outlay for $60,000. It was on the narrative that it was for a vehicle purchase, but now it is time to actually purchase the vehicle. And so we just wanted to officially come back to the board and get approval to move forward with that, and Kevin signing the documents that will need to be signed. This is a huge deal for the operations and maintenance team. And in the long run, will actually save us money. We often rent trucks and trailers and things like that. So this has everything that we need. It has a tow hitch. So we're really excited about it. And the David and Memo, our ops and maintenance leads, are also very excited.
Great. Thanks, Amy. Any questions for Amy? Comments?
Amy, any issues with insurance or any significant upticks to insurance because as a result of this purchase, or is it pretty smooth?
It's pretty smooth. We priced out the insurance and that also went into the budget revise, and it wasn't a huge amount. And so I did check with them before we brought this to the board. And so it's not significant at all.
Great. Thanks.
And we're purchasing it versus leasing it, right?
Correct.
And is this the first vehicle that we own?
It is. And we're planning on putting our compass on it somewhere. So which is really fun. Exciting.
Right. Amy, where are we going to keep the truck?
So we rent 5 spaces in our parking lot at the SO. right behind our parking lot is a another parking lot that our landlord owns, and you have to have a remote to get in. And so we're planning on parking it in one of those spaces that we rent there.
Okay. And a lot of times with this kind of vehicle, the insurance company insists on specific use and specific purposes. Following up on Char's question, are we squared away on that? No one's going to drive it that shouldn't drive it, and no one's going to drive it to the Navigator picnic if it's not allowed to, or?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Right. Okay. For purposes of liability, who monitors that?
I will monitor that. And then David will also be my second set of eyes and ears and monitoring. We will only have, I will have a key and David will have a key, and that is it. So we won't be passing out keys. Either the keys won't be anywhere where people can just come in and grab them.
Right.
Dave, just for everybody's information, David Labar is our manager of maintenance and operations.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the vehicle purchase?
Hi, Mary. Yeah, I motion to approve.
Thanks, Simon.
This is Claire. I'll second.
Thank you, Claire. Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none. Kevin, would you call the roll for approval?
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Don Flaherty.
Aye.
Claire Grissom.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Alfred Morkin.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Clonia.
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Kevin. Moving on to item C, and thank you, Amy, for working on this. Look forward to seeing a picture of the when it's decaled out with the Navigator stuff. Moving on to item C, Amy, would you talk about the school accountability report card approval?
Sure. This topic's not as fun. Ben Moeller used to do SARC every year. And so this year it fell to me. And so it was my first time, and it was definitely a learning experience. Hopefully you all got a chance to look through all four of them, all, I don't know how many pages. So I'm just open for questions. They were posted on the website and the CDE site by February 1st, which was the due date. And I look forward to doing them again next year.
Any questions for Amy about the school accountability report card? Amy, what did you learn from doing it the first time?
I learned that there are a lot of people's input that I need. And I also learned, fun fact, that once you get logged in and authorized, most of it pre-populates. So I had already done most of them with me pulling information on my own, not knowing that it pre-populated once I got into the CDE site. So it was a really good learning for me to actually populate it myself anyway, because I got to see where all that information comes from, rather than it just pre-populating for me, and I would have been lost if I didn't know. Yeah.
What do you want us to know about the report that you saw? Besides how hard you worked on it.
I'm not sure. I know there was a lot around the SBAC testing, a lot of those numbers that pre-populated. We've seen those numbers for past years. And I think a lot of it has to do with our California state dashboard. So it talked a lot about chronic absenteeism and suspensions and expulsions. And so I would like you to know that the numbers, you know, for this expulsions and suspensions were lower than the state average, I think, at most of all of our sites. But you can see that also on that report, because the report also pre-populates with the district averages, and it also pre-populates with the state averages in a lot of the areas. So you can kind of see where we are compared to the state and the district.
John, I'll add that the legislation that required the school accountability report cards is, I think, like 12 or 15 years old. I mean, this is something that we've been doing, and it was all before there's the California dashboard. The California dashboard is a lot easier to interpret and read. It's a lot more visual. So it's where the state is headed to try to make it all more transparent. So I'd say, like, this is kind of like a carryover requirement that we're obligated to do, but it doesn't get as much visibility as that California dashboard.
How do they compare to our overall objective? Are we pleased with the data that we're seeing right now?
Really, Chuck, we have 1 year of data because of the pandemic. So everything that is reported is really baseline looking forward. So I'd say, you know, we feel pretty good about it, given that it was our, you know, first year coming back from the pandemic. It also shows how much further we have to go to kind of get back to where we were academically. So I'd say it's a good baseline for us to grow from.
That's a good point, though. It sounds like there's a lot of noise around the pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes it okay.
One more thing that I probably would want you to know: our per pupil expenditures are just slightly higher than the state average, which is really good considering the way that we staff our schools compared to the staffing at some of the traditional public schools. And so we are a little higher than the state average, but not by much at all.
And Amy, is the inference that we're getting so much more out of our faculty in terms of if you look at the student results, and we're not spending that much more per student? I mean, in addition to the finance stuff,
mm-hmm.
It just goes to the quality of the faculty, it would seem. Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Thanks for doing it and picking that up, and appreciate it. Moving to item D and E, having to do with...
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I think we need a motion to approve
the SARC. Oh, of course. Right. Sorry. Do I hear a motion to approve the SARC? I will move. Do I hear a second?
Victor, I'll second.
Thank you, Victor. Any additional comments, questions? Hearing none, Kevin, would you call the roll to approve the SARC?
JP Anderson. Was that an aye, JP?
Aye.
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Alfred Morgan?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Kevin. Moving on to item D and then E. The first is the Hayward Collegiate Material Revision. I just want to say it's nice to have our newest school on the agenda, and that it doesn't involve acquisition, but involves managing it and moving it forward. So it's nice to have both these items on, sort of the newest member growing up a little bit in terms of board matters. And Nina, it's nice to see you. So thank
you. Great to see you, John. Thank you.
Could we talk about Hayward Collegiate, the material revision, please?
Sure. So we are required by our MOU to submit a material revision anytime that we are under enrolled by 10%, an increase or decrease in enrollment by 10%. at Hayward Collegiate due to our facilities constraints and the new regulations around transitional kindergarten having to be a smaller cohort. We are under enrolled by 17%. And so we are, it's pretty standard for Alameda County to ask us to submit a material revision, but that doesn't mean we're not taking it seriously. We have made sure that we're starting to speak with all the board members, making sure this is politically going to be fine. But in the packet, you'll see that 8 other charters within Alameda County are also required to submit this material revision. I've spoken to the back office and they've assured me that this is nothing to worry about too much, but the projections are on the memo.
Okay, thanks, Nina. And you feel confident, I gather from your remarks, that you feel confident, not certain, but feel confident that if anyone on the board or elsewhere wants to create mischief, our feelers are good enough to hear that ahead of time without any bad surprises. Yes.
That's right.
Good. Okay. Questions for Nina? Comments? Kirsten, you're assisting in this to get your radars up and operating as well.
Yeah, Nina and I are working on this together with Amy, actually. It's the trio of us.
Great. Good. So keep all doors locked and fastened. Good. Make sure they're not open. Thank you, Nina. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to, well, there's no motion. It's just a briefing, a discussion. Thank
that
you.
That should be a motion.
Actually, John, I think on the agenda we put a vote. Let me just verify. It says discussion. It says material revision. Okay, it does not say vote. It says discuss. So we verified with Tom that who reviewed the MOU that a board motion is not required for submitting the material revision, but we did have it. Our anticipation was to have it for a vote, but we did not get it on the agenda as such. So John, yeah, we should just treat it as discussion. We could bring it back in March for a formal vote, just to have it for the record. We do think best practices would be to have the board approve the material revision.
Well, Tom, is there any reason then why we can't do that now?
Well, first of all, we only have discussion on the agenda. I think that's the primary block. Although there's nothing in the law that says a board has to approve a material revision before it goes to an authorizer, it's best practice, as Kevin says. But it's not fatal. We're not doing it today. We're getting back together on March 7th. By that time, the submission will be made. The board can ratify it. And if there's any questions, the staff is available. I'm available. So I think that would probably be the best approach, given where we are.
I do query to the former founder. Nina, you're comfortable with that?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, terrific. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item E, the Proposition 39 offer on the preliminary offer on Hayward Collegiate. Kevin, I believe you're leading this.
Hmm. Yeah, so thank you. This is me. I am going to...
Just for the purposes of the board, this is also a discussion, no motion, correct?
Yes. This was intended to be just discussion. But because you asked, John, I am going to take a quick second just to share a picture of the truck that we will be picking up within the next few days.
That is a nice truck.
We will get a logo on it, as Amy mentioned. Sometimes from this angle, you can't really see the bed, but it's a nice bed. It's a big cab that has a lot of storage in there. So this will really serve our schools well and much needed. So thank you all for your support on that.
So I'm not going to see Amy zipping by me on 101 in this new truck.
Well, maybe if she's delivering something to Hayward Collegiate, you might.
I'll need a step stool to get in, though.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay, Kevin, Prop 39.
So Hayward Collegiate, so this memo and the actual offer, the preliminary offer was included in the packet. I am highlighting the memo just because I want to point out where what our process is right now. So basically, we have until March 1 to reply to Hayward Unified regarding the offer. And then they have until April 1 to issue a final offer. So nothing really happens until after a final offer. So staff will be working over the next month to determine how exactly to respond to this offer. I will say that we requested in our Prop 39 offer to have space at Bowman Elementary School, which is about a little bit less than 1 mile from our current campus and would be a lot easier for our families to get to than the facility that they did offer. The facility they offered is a space at Cherryland Elementary School, which also houses Key Academy, another charter school. It's about almost 3 miles. It's 2.9 miles from our current campus. However, it does provide more classrooms, which could be very helpful. So we are going to definitely do some due diligence and engage our families and get feedback regarding their views on that and whether it's feasible for them to make it to that site or not. We'll also explore whether accepting, you know, maybe one or two classrooms somewhere else at the Prop 39 offer might be feasible. We'll also look at other facilities in the area. The current challenge at our Hayward Collegiate is that we have a combined classroom for TK and K. So we are not able to have the numbers of TK students that we would like to serve, nor kindergarten students. So that's a space issue. And then our current fourth graders will be moving into fifth grade and there's not a formal classroom available to them. So we're looking at alternative spaces within the campus that could be made into classroom use space, like our social hall, or maybe a part of the sanctuary or some other variation. We're also looking into local churches that are within a block or so walking distance. So just so you know, like the Prop 39 preliminary offer is not the offer that we were hoping to get, but it is pretty much the same offer that Hayward Collegiate has received each of the last 3 years, which is for a site that's a little out of our ideal zone. So happy to take any questions. Nina, if you'd like to chime in on anything here, or Amy or Kirsten, we've all been working as a team as we consider this, but we have time. And the main thing here is just to inform the board on what the offer, the preliminary offer is, and what process we're going through. I'll end by saying that we talked about this at length with the facilities committee, as well as the finance committee, as well as Jaime offline to get his perspective as a community member and a parent. So Nina, Kirsten, Amy, anything else to add at this time? Any questions, board members?
Kevin, you were scheduled to see the pastor of the church and talk with him about lease matters. Did you meet with him and how did that go?
Yes, John, I did. I met with Pastor Dawit today. When we get to the facilities update later, I may share a little bit more, but since it's pertinent to this, I'll say that as we look to the long-term viability of operating at the church site where we are now, the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we have engaged our architect to give us a proposal for adding two modular classrooms to the site. And that would help us get to the TK to six, but not entirely. We would still have to use some creative space. That proposal is about a $50,000 architectural service contract to get a conditional use permit and to submit the building plans. And we did not want to ask the board to approve that without first ensuring that the landlord, that the church was amenable to one, us putting the portables on the site, which would take up some of the space of the current playground, which they also use on the weekends, and two, that they are also amenable to a longer term lease, because the cost of doing the pole project is probably going to be in the neighborhood of $300,000 or so. And so it's a pretty sizable investment without having a long-term commitment. And so, yeah, Pastor Weed is very supportive of us, one, adding the portables to the site, and two, securing a long-term lease, and would love to engage in those discussions. So we are there's a strong possibility that we come back to the finance committee and then the board to approve those architectural service contract, so we can start that process rolling, so that we do have at least one option. One of the challenge for the long term, even though we'll still be challenged with serving TK to six there, the two extra classrooms will make a huge difference. And the one challenge with the Prop 39 is that it's only a year-to-year offer. So, in the event that we do accept a Prop 39 deal, we'd still want to work to secure a long-term deal, either with the district or through other at another site. So a lot to consider at this point.
Kevin, what do we consider ideally long-term? What would be the ideal commitment we'd be looking for?
I'd say based on that, the type of investment we'd be looking at, I would say at least 10 years.
Okay.
I think, it could be the ideal situation would be where we have a five-year lease, but we have the option for the second five as opposed to a mutual option. Right. But I think we would need at least 10 if we're going to, invest $300,000 or whatever it ends up being. That's a ballpark estimate, by the way.
Prop 39, where you're talking about annual renewals, is really a difficult way to manage the overall long-term issues with the school, I would think.
Chuck, it's been fine for us at Gilroy. And we'll talk more about that later. Hollister, not quite as good, but it's worked okay. It was challenging in Watsonville because they gave us a split site option our second year. So it can be challenging, absolutely. It's hard to say how Hayward Unified will act over the long term. So far they've been pretty consistent with Key Academy in that charter school, given that site, the Cherryland site, to Key Academy. So, but we do run that risk depending on their board and what if their goal is to make it, difficult for operators. Not that I suspect that in any case. There have been examples of that in our state where districts change year to year to make it challenging. And so, there's a lot of change with board, elections and different superintendents. So, we different visions for facility use that we'd have to, we'd be subject to.
Yeah, it's a risk for sure. It's difficult to manage that way. Thanks.
Any other questions on the Prop 39 piece for Hayward Collegiate? Okay, thank you, Kevin. We'll move on to item F, the Extended Learning Opportunity Program update. Kirsten, you're going to provide this for us.
I am. Thank you very much. And I think Kevin's going to share screen. And the last couple of memos, when I have talked with you all about the Extended Learning Opportunities Program, ELOP, I said I will come back with an update. I will most likely come back again when we do the Hayward Collegiate relaunch of the ELOP program. But for right now, we'll just talk a little bit about what's coming. So Again, it is commonly referred to as ELOP. So when you hear us saying ELOP, that's what we're talking about. And you can go to the next slide, please, Kevin. So I'm going to do an update together on GPS and HPS, as those are both run in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. And then we'll do WPS, Hayward Collegiate, and then I will round it out with current activities and next steps, and then opportunities for questions. So first, I want to give a huge shout out to Parissa Fawadian, who is our ELOP coordinator. She is working with three of the four sites. She will start working with Hayward Collegiate after its relaunch and has been working incredibly closely with our providers and the site directors at each of the three sites to work on a seamless, relatively seamless transition and just a relationship between the providers and our school sites, is that is going to be how we do have a very successful program at all of our sites. So the glows at GPS, and if you've ever been on a walkthrough with us, you know that we look at the highlights and the strengths, and then we will look at areas of growth. So we are always looking at our glows and our grows. So at GPS, it is growing quickly. I had the numbers in your memo. And right now at GPS, because we already had two after-school programs there, those are slowly being just phased out by parent choice. We will not renew the contracts with them after the end of this school year. So it is continuing to grow, especially as parents find out more about it and they're looking at the option of having them at the Boys and Girls Club. The very knowledgeable site coordinator and their staff is in very excited to learn about Navi culture and management techniques. And I'll talk a little bit more about that with the current activities. We do have some new site staff, the after-school site staff. So some classroom management training. We are going to be implementing the positive behavior intervention system and doing some training there, and then just strengthening the curriculum. And then HPS, very similar. Students are having fun with after school. The site is incredibly receptive to feedback from both Parissa as well as the site operations manager who they work with. And they're also learning about the Navi culture and management techniques. Same grows. Boys and Girls Club in general, we're going to be working with them on those areas of growth. Just a little bit so you can see what is happening. It's always fun to see the smiling faces of our friends and scholars in these programs. And so you can tell they do some academics, some athletics, and then also some arts and crafts and creative expression. So the YMCA at WPS, this just started, as you guys know from the meeting last month, that it just started January 30th. So the students are enjoying the new art projects and a science workshop. As the YMCA isn't brand new to WPS, they're actually just transitioning their program. They've been able to truly strengthen it and add some more opportunities and options for our students. Compassionate site coordinator who is receptive to the implementing the feedback, and the staff also is learning, excited to learn about Navi culture and management techniques. Same grows, as you can tell, that is a common theme. When we were talking to the various providers, they said too that they have been struggling with finding staff. It seems to be a common theme just across California and America right now. So we are working with them on helping to train their classroom staff, the site staff. And here are our friends. If you look at the cute little face on the bottom of the first picture, the one with the table. That is Mr. Toriyumi, who you might recognize the last name. He is the adorably sweet son of Crystal O'Rourke, and we love having him in the program. Next. And then we'll talk a little bit about Hayward. So Hayward is going to be going through an after-school refresh. We had launched a program at the very beginning of the year, one out of necessity, and two, we needed to do it. And so what we're going to be doing with the relaunch is focusing on enrichment and intervention. So there are going to be blocks of arts and crafts, as well as reading and math. And James is working closely on what that curriculum is going to look like, but as well as then working with Parissa on ensuring that we follow all of the ELOP requirements, snack rosters, and making sure that we know which kids are there, and the amount of time that is supposed to be dedicated to both arts and crafts, as well as opportunities for some of that academic enrichment. So I will be sharing more about that in the coming days. And then just a couple pictures that Kevin had up of the fun that the kids are having. And these are hot off the press. They sent these to me today. So these are our friends in Hayward enjoying incredible activities. And you can just tell the smiles on the scholars' faces show that they're enjoying being in the after-school program. So now just a little bit about what is going to be coming, like what's currently going on, just as far as the overall programs. And so Parissa, as I said, has been working very closely with the site leaders. She actually does weekly huddles with the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, and has gone through walkthroughs of the various sites during, like going through the actual, what they call them, school days, the after school program calls during the day, school days, to get to know, so the site leaders know what goes on in our classrooms on a daily basis so that they're ready to help with that transition after school. Staff is working with the site staff to ensure the smooth relations as far as like, where do we have space? What kind of training can they attend? They've already asked to be included in Navi 101 this summer. So working collaboratively so that our kiddos and our friends and our scholars are having an enriching after-school program that serves both our needs as well as the needs of our little friends. And she's also then going to be working. She constantly is providing training on our Teach Like a Champion techniques, the PBIS integration that I discussed earlier, and then classroom management best practices.
I know for some of our non-educator board members, we use a lot of the acronyms. So PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention and Support.
And I did say that one earlier, Kevin, for that exact reason, because I was like, PBIS, okay. They're not going to know what that is. They're going to be peanut butter and what? So, yeah, so we do have that. And then next will be the next steps. We are, as you guys know, and Sharon has made sure that we, she's instilled this within each of us because it is who we are. We're a full inclusion school. As you guys all know, we want our after-school program to be full inclusion as well. So helping the after-school programs be able to ensure that they also are set up to succeed with all Navigator students, again, knowing every student by name and need. So we are going to be working on how best to support them in that area. You guys, we just talked about facilities. Guess what? There's a need for space. So we are working on where are some dedicated spaces. Facilities and operations were amazing and got helped us get a storage shed at GPS, and just making sure that we do know where their dedicated workspaces are. And then finally, as I've already mentioned, launching the Hayward Collegiate Refresh. So to make sure that it is also just as successful as our other three programs. So now you have questions, and thank you, Kevin, for sharing my screen. I really appreciate the tech support. It's not my strong suit. So thank you. So questions.
So just a quick question. I saw that Gilroy prep is not going to continue the YMCA? Is the Hollister prep also not going to continue YMCA and just do the boys and girls?
After this end of this school year, yes, we will be phasing out the Y after this school year.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
So when will the Hayward Collegiate new program start again?
February 13th.
I'm sorry, what day?
February 13th.
February 13th, okay. Mm-hmm. And who will be running that? Parissa will be running that?
James is still going to be running it. So Parissa is the ELOP coordinator. So she works with the three different program, or will be four different programs, and just helps make sure that we're following all requirements, providing support as they need it. And at Hayward, James wanted to do a combination of the intervention and enrichment. So James is going to be running it with Quincy and April still.
Got it. So James would be more hands-on for the after-school program?
With the design of it, yes.
Okay. And will Parissa be at the site? Or
not. She will be, as she is with the others. Like she pops in and works with them. It just depends on the needs at the time.
Got it. So she'll be going directly through James?
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? You're muted, John.
Sorry. Any questions or additional comments? Okay, thank you, Kirsten. Important program for us at all schools, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Forgive me for being a little disheveled here.
The next item, John, is facilities update.
Kevin, you want to take us through that, please?
Sure. Thank you. I'm going to share my screen again. I'm going to try to share my screen again. Let's see here. Okay, so I'll try to get through this a little more quickly than the last time I was talking about facilities. So quick update on Gilroy Prep. So as you know, we had a state application to expand at Gilroy Prep with TK classrooms, two new kindergarten classrooms. And by adding those four total new classrooms, that we would be able to repurpose the two existing kinder classrooms. We're also going to be leveling the elementary play field and replacing the play structure and doing new asphalt. Right now, we have a lot of dangerous broken asphalt there. And another big pain point is that the limited parking that we have. So we'll also be reconfiguring the parking lot for better traffic flow and more parking. So that's what the funding that we have been awarded from the state will allow us to do. It's about $4.8 million, half of which is a grant and the other half is a low interest loan for 30 years. So we've talked about that in the past. That was awarded in November. And since then, this is what we've been up to, is one, getting our architect prepared to get going on the planning effort. However, before we can enter an architectural services contract that we would bring to the board, we need to make sure that we have a long-term lease in place with the school district. So that the architectural services is going to be substantial in the over $250,000 range, most likely. And we don't want to start to incur costs without first making sure that the school district is going to support a long-term lease. In order to apply for the funds, we had to have the district's commitment to negotiate in good faith, which they have been. And we're getting closer to the point where we'll have a meeting with their assistant superintendent, business services, and hopefully their superintendent to discuss the details of the long-term lease. So our attorney, through outside counsel, Young, Mini, and Core, drafted the long-term lease. Tom reviewed it. It was provided to them in December. They shared it with their legal counsel. They're doing some due diligence. They visited the site to look at long-term maintenance needs 2 weeks ago. So it is in process, and that's where we are on that project. We're anxious to get going because, one, we definitely want to add the TK. We want to improve the playgrounds. And the biggest pain point that we have right now is the limited parking. Because as South Valley has gone through there, as they're going, that's our neighboring site, South Valley, as they're going through their facility upgrades, we've lost about 30 parking spaces that we had access to previously. So we have some short-term solutions working with Rebecca's Children's Center across the street, but that's a very limited time option and it's not very convenient. So the sooner we can get moving, the better it will be. So Amy and Kirsten and I are working on that to get the approval and support of the school district and to move that forward. And happy to take any questions on Gilroy Prep before we go to Hollister.
I saw in passing that a school superintendent in Gilroy, and I didn't know whether it was Gilroy Unified, is retiring. Is that our strong ally?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Debbie Flores is retiring. She actually recently came on a site visit and reminded Kirsten that she really wants to get this deal done before she leaves. And we want to as well, because she's been a great ally for us. Great. Absolutely.
Good.
Do we know much about her replacement?
I think they're just now kind of going through the search process. So not yet. I'll say, you know, we have the assistant superintendent and their director of facilities planning. We have some strong allies here, some of the board members too, but you know, things can change with the new superintendent, so we definitely want to get it done soon.
Right.
Okay, so moving on to Hollister Prep. So we submitted our Prop 39 request to Hollister, which is basically to stay where we are with the exact same classrooms. We have not gotten an official response. That generally means that from a legal standpoint, that the charter gets what it asks for if there's not a challenge to what the request is. That being said, we always want to be on positive terms with the school district and don't want to have to pursue anything legally. So we are hopeful that we will have a facilities use agreement in the very near future from Hollister School District. But again, the Prop 39 is a year to year. So we do need to continue to explore longer term solutions for Hollister. So happy to take any questions there, but no real news to report right now.
How hard is it to get a longer term lease with the Hollister?
Are you referring to with the school district?
Yeah, with the school district.
Well, we pursued that, the Prop 51 grant with Hollister School District, and we were not able to get board support to even negotiate in good faith because there were a lot of concerns about how many children are being housed at the R.L. Harding campus, with Hollister Prep being fully grown, and with R.L. Harding, they are concerned about traffic, and so you know, some of the staff at R.L. Harding concerned about middle school students on the same campus as they're a K-5 school. So for those reasons, it was difficult to secure that. They may be open to a longer term lease at a different site. That's not something that we really wanted to entertain, because we have about a third of our students within walking distance to Hollister, to our current campus, where we're located, and we definitely want to stay. We want to fight hard to be able to stay where we are. Now, things might change with a different, different board membership possibly down the road. So we don't want to say that there's not going to be that opportunity to have that long term deal, but we have not been able to secure it yet for our current campus.
Kevin, I know you and Kirsten are in the process of following up with the president of Gavilan, who is, I'm missing the oversight board meeting tonight, and who's interested in, is charged with building a campus in Hollister and is interested in what Navigator does. And I just want to make sure that we're following up and pursuing that angle to see if there's anything possible there.
Yes. Thank you for creating that connection, John. We will definitely be following up on that.
Okay.
That may also create a pathway for possibly a school five. Who knows? Well, we're open to explore, and that school five being possibly considering what a new campus might offer. But more to come on that, John, and we look forward to following up on that.
Great.
Should I move to Watsonville, or any more questions about Hollister? So for Watsonville Prep, and much of this information was lifted from our board onboarding and reboarding session from September. So some of this are just reminders, but just so you are reminded that Watsonville Prep, we are paying down debt service that is interest only. And so there's the $9 million that we will need to refinance in 2028 if we're not able to do a capital campaign or some other type of fundraising effort to pay down the principal of those loans. So just a reminder, and you'll be hearing more about fundraising in the next few months. The other need that we have is to figure out how we continue to serve a second TK class. So because we built out the site with one TK classroom, we were only able to add a second TK classroom now because we currently don't have 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So as our 5th graders go to 6th grade and then 7th and 8th, we will need to use the classroom where that second TK class is. Now, when we designed the building, there wasn't the expanded option for TK for all 4-year-olds, which we're moving into. And so this year, and this was covered a bit by Victor earlier related to the finances, this year you can qualify for TK funding if the child is turns 5 by February 2nd. It used to be December 2nd. So this year it's February 2nd. Next year it'll be April 2nd. The following year it'll be June 2nd. eventually it'll be all four-year-olds qualify for full funding for TK. So we ended up, we knew that bringing in students earlier after last year's success and the board, with the board support, we added that second TK classroom. And we need to find a way to keep the second classroom. So there is some space available on the first floor. And that's something that we have begun to explore, but there might be other options to consider as well. You know, in the facility world, things take time. So even though we have a few years yet, it's something that we'll need to be working on very quickly in order to accommodate that second classroom once our current fifth graders get to eighth grade. Any questions on Watsonville? All right, and then the last update is something we already touched on, and that is really securing the longer term plans for Hayward Collegiate. So I won't go into any more detail, but the architectural service contract is something that we may be bringing back to the board in the next meeting or two so that we could at least get one long-term option secured, or at least on the pathway to being secured. And that is my report, John, on the facilities for now. Oh, John, you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry, Kevin. And thank you for the briefing. Any questions or comments on facilities generally for Kevin?
Kevin, I have a question. As I'm kind of reviewing the slides you shared, I think the headline for me is there's a lot of facilities needs at all of our campuses, and a lot of money that we need to spend to build up the campuses to, you know, their ideal end state. And I think the question that I'm grappling with, and Finance Committee may know more to speak to this, but how does this all kind of fit into the bigger financial picture, especially as we think about, you know, I think you and I are both aware there's some impending SB 740 nonsense and mischief, as John likes to say, that might be in our, in our future that we need to plan for. So I'm putting this out there just to make sure we're thinking about long-term planning and multi-year projections with all these costs baked in. Also, it's, you know, we want to take care of our employees. And so the second biggest cost there is like making sure salaries and benefits are there. So I don't know if there's something that is already existing or Finance Committee has talked this through, but I think it'd be helpful to share how these all weave together.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point, Shara. I think when we added the Watsonville Prep campus, you know, we did a tremendous amount of due diligence to show the long-term viability of that site. I think any other long-term commitments would also have to go through similar types of due diligence. With the Gilroy Prep project, the charter, the California School Finance Authority is the agency that we had to go through the financial due diligence with to show really just with the Gilroy Prep fund balance and with the Gilroy Prep revenues that we could afford what that loan would be. The loan portion of that project. So the way we've done it, Shara and board, is really looking at each project on a school by school basis, with the school's finances being able to afford that project and it not impact one project, not impact any of the other schools. With the support office or the CMO being able to pitch in as needed. Which we did for the Watsonville Prep project in the early part. But absolutely, as we think about the long-term finances for any project going forward, we have to do the significant due diligence analysis. I don't know if that covers it enough, but it's absolutely something that we need to address as we move forward.
That's really helpful context, and thank you for sharing that. I bring this up more because the conversation you and I have been having around SB 740, and I don't quite know what the reliance on that source of funding is, and I know that we're going to have to get into attack mode to make sure that that is preserved every single year at the state level, and making sure that these projects continue to have support from that revenue stream.
Yeah, I mean it's a huge vulnerability. The SB 740 funding, we do use it right now for Watsonville and for Hayward. This was we covered this also in our onboarding reboarding, is the risks associated with the SB 740, because our opponents of charter schools have gone after this, and as Shar is mentioning, we collectively in the charter school movement were able to fend off the latest attack, but another wave is coming, and so it is an issue. I think that the best way we're going to be able to resolve that is by being able to do some significant fundraising to hopefully eliminate that as a need. But until then, I think the lobbying efforts that are supporting charter schools are really important for us to pay attention to.
Good question. Kevin, a general question. How did the facilities survive the storms and the floods?
Our facilities had no significant issues during the storms or the floods. Correct, Amy? We had a couple of small leaks, but nothing serious.
That's correct.
And those were in Watsonville?
Watsonville, Hayward.
Well, surprisingly, Watsonville didn't have a leak during the storms, and they're known for having leaks when it rains. And so I think we have that under control now. Hollister has two rooms that leak. One leaks from the roof, one leaks from under the door. And Hayward had a couple leaks. And then the gym at Gilroy had a couple leaks, but nothing significant, nothing that needed immediate attention.
Great. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Kevin. Moving on to the next to last item on our agenda, I believe, is the closed session, correct?
Yes.
Before we take a motion to move to closed session, I just the staff usually drops off at this point, so I'll say what I would say at the end of this when we're moving for adjournment. A lot of stuff has happened these past couple of weeks outside of the Navigator environment, whether it's I just listened to a lot of information about some very specifics about Ukraine. Alfred knows the situation in exactly how momentous the catastrophe in Turkey is with respect to his subject matter expertise. It can be a tough place. And I know in 2023 that a lot of us are faced with our own personal challenges, whether it's children, spouses, family, whatever. So let's just agree that we take care of ourselves and take care of each other. That's the way I would comment on the end of our meeting before we go into closed session, and use all the tools at hand that you have at hand to help you navigate these situations. So, and remember how fortunate we are. And thank you again for taking care of our charges, our students, and their parents. So, thank you. So I'll take a motion to move to close session to discuss a litigation case or exposure to litigation case. Briefing from the general counsel. Do I hear a motion to approve entering closed session?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I'm a second.
Thank you. Kevin, can you call the roll?
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
John Flaherty? John, it was an aye. Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Aye. Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Alfred Morikang?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll go into closed session. Kevin, are you arranging this?
Mario, you got it? Okay, Mario's going to put us into closed session. Thank you, everybody.
Tomislav, you have the floor.
You know, John, one second. I don't think we're quite in closed session yet. I'm going to pause.
We are back in open session. Last item on the agenda is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Victor, thank you for the second. Comments, questions before we vote on the motion? We'll see you all on March 7th. Thank you for moving this meeting along and getting our work done. Appreciate it from the board, and thank you for your preparation. Members of the ad hoc committee will be in touch with you with some materials. Please look for them coming from myself and Kevin. So, thank you. Kevin, would you call the roll to adjourn, please?
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Claire Grissom.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Alfred Morikang.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga.
Aye.
Motion passes, John.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned. Alfred, nice. Thank you for nice to have you here, and which means you're not someplace catastrophic. So thank you.
No, I'm back home. Thank you too.
Okay. We'll see everybody on March 7th.
Thanks, everyone.
Night, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.